Christmas time's coming. Christmas time's coming.
Christmas time is certainly coming. That's the new theme music now through Christmas Day. And then the day after Christmas, have Joy to the World.
Oh, a rendition
of that.
Well,
the Lord has come.
Here's a spoiler, I guess, but Roger Weisgarber wrote a great article about Joy to the World in the December edition of the Prime Life Times.
That's going to be out and about soon.
I love that song.
So I'll read our verse, but I just wanted to, that's the new theme music. That's Buddy Green singing.
Oh, I just jumped right
Christmas
in, didn't I?
Christmas time's a coming. Yeah, and if I forget to do my opening line, you'll say, hey, what happened?
I know, I will.
Here we go. So reading from Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, November 28th, 2022, the last Monday in this month of November. Do you realize that this Thursday, it's going to be December 1st?
I have realized that.
December 1st.
Yes. Oh, I know it. It's hard to realize, but it came to me as a bit of a shock because I got a lot to do.
Well, that, and then I was thinking, wow, that's this Thursday. That's the Ministry Leaders Network luncheon.
Yeah. True.
And figuring that all out. In fact, it was kind of funny because my special speaker is Brett Behrens. He's the sports director for WCIA Channel 3. And so we arranged this a couple months ago, and he said, well, September and October won't work. I'm not sure about November. December, I think I can do it. I said, great, we'll put you down for December. Well, then the Illinois football team was doing so well. They were 7-1, 6-1, 7-1.
Yeah, it's great.
There was the thought that they were going to be the Big Ten champions. And he goes, oh, Mark, if Illinois keeps winning, I won't be able to go because I'll be in Indianapolis
doing the Big Ten championship.
Well, then they lost, and then they lost again.
Oh, yeah,
so,
I know.
Lord willing, Brett will be my speaker.
Hopefully he can come, but
Thursday.
I'm not happy about the Illini.
Yeah, so if you're a pastor or ministry leader, this lunch is open to you. I ask that you give me advance warning because we always provide a nice lunch. We meet at noon, and we're done by 1:15 sharp. Last month, we had 49, I think, different pastors and ministry leaders. It was a great gathering.
It is good meals. It's really good meals.
Yeah, and the fellowship, everyone has a delightful time. In fact, last month, because of situations, we had it into testimony time. I don't know if I talked about this on the
air. You did.
A little bit. I love the fact that I had different people share a testimony time, and then I'd have somebody else get up and pray over them. And that's where Chief Tyler, he grabbed the one pastor's hands and just prayed over him.
Yeah.
And so I thought worked out really great.
There was a number of good prayers.
Yeah, it was a glorious time. But Lord willing, Brent Behrens will be our speaker. And I've asked him to share about overcoming adversity.
Mm-hmm.
He has a really neat faith journey, testimony. And so I hope that'll be an encouragement for all the pastors and ministry leaders. So it's this Thursday. If you're a pastor or ministry leader, call the station and I can touch base and talk with you, talk it through.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not for anyone that does ministry because we all do that. It's usually the executive directors of like Habitat for Humanity or See You at Home or the Salvation Army or Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Otherwise, it's a bunch of different pastors. Mm-hmm. So you can call me at 217-367-7777 and we can talk about it. But it should be a good turnout and I hope Brett can make it and excited about that.
It's going to be a good week.
Well, last week, many of you, I hope you enjoyed our special Thanksgiving presentation by Moody. It was titled Remembering the Pilgrims. Hopefully that added to the festivities. Now, recognizing that all of you got to be with family members or got to be around the radio and got to enjoy that program or the special, the little things in life that was on Friday. So Marianne and I were talking about this before our prayer time. You know, it's a great time of year. Every day is a great day when you give thanks to the Lord
for what
he's done. He's provided all that we needed through the Lord Jesus Christ. So if nothing went right today, it's still a bright day because the Lord Jesus died for your sins and secured eternal destiny for you if you follow him, if you surrender to him, if you ask him to be your Lord and Savior. It's a good day. But that doesn't mean that everything just goes well, that there isn't agony in your life, that there isn't suffering. Even the thief on the cross, I talked about this a few weeks back, but he still had to suffer that agonizing death, though Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise.
Yeah.
So his salvation was secured, but there were still consequences of the sin.
Mm.
And so sometimes some of you today are suffering because of the consequences of other sin that caused harm to you or disappointment, or maybe a spouse has left, or maybe you've lost a loved one. So these are difficult times. That's never removed from us. Yet we can take joy and hope that we do serve a great God. And this verse, Marianne, I know we both kind of thought, it's a powerful verse, even though it's not so much about our reading today in prayer. It still demonstrates God is a good God. So do not fear, for I am with you. Mm-hmm. Even in sorrow, even in suffering, even when you're joyful and things are going great, God is with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. And again, you have to know God's character. When you know that he's a good, loving God, a God full of grace and mercy, I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God will do that for you today.
Yes, he will. You know, we do live a life of seasons, and some seasons are fantastic. Others are pretty rough. And I really liked it when you and I were talking earlier, and you said, you know, Jesus was a man of sorrows. And I said, yeah, he was also anointed with joy above his brethren. And that's an interesting thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's that paradox.
It's a life of seasons.
Yeah,
It's both and.
Yeah, and being mindful and sensitive to those that are experiencing loss
sorrows,
and are suffering.
Absolutely.
And yet also rejoicing with those that things are going well. They got the promotion.
Right.
They bought the new boat or whatever it is. And then also keep in mind that this is temporal. That we're experiencing, I guess God saw fit. He wanted us to experience life, to come to salvation, to know him. But this is just a small portion of life. The eternity with him is going to be so much different.
Yeah.
And
new heavens and the new earth.
Yeah.
Coming down from God. I love it.
Yeah. So he's a good God. So wherever you're at today, be thankful.
Yeah.
With much or with little.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, we can have a whole bunch of stuff and be utterly ungrateful and not thankful.
Yeah.
And you can have little or a lot and be thankful.
Yeah. And you can have a little or a lot and still have the sensitivity to recognize people don't have a lot or
That's
have
right.
nothing and are starving.
Yeah.
And so be mindful and be grateful for what you have, yet also don't ever lose sight that most throughout the world do not have what we have.
That's right. And, you know, I really think during the holidays, and it's true all the time, but just approaching life and people in general with the attitude of what can I share? Mm-hmm. What can I do for this person in front of me at the grocery store? What can I do? It doesn't have to be money. It doesn't have to be, can be, or it can be something like just give them a friendly word, strike up a conversation, or do something small, like, hey, you want to go ahead of me in line? You know, what can I share out of gratitude to give to this world to increase the goodness? Because I think we're called to it.
Yeah, that'll preach. That'll preach, sister.
Okay.
Well, we're
supposed to be reading.
Yeah, I think those that tuned in last Monday, they thought, wow, Mark really got them off the rails.
They wondered where Mark was.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, who was that guy that filled in for Mark last week?
That's right. I can verify it was you.
Yeah, we're in chapter 7 of our glorious book. I really love this book.
I love the chapters
about prayer and fasting, and just raising our awareness of the importance of prayer, the importance of building that relationship with God. Prayer is, in some senses, talking with God, but it's also listening to God. It's processing thoughts and concepts as you bring them before the Lord. It's interceding on behalf of others. I mean, prayer is such a power. It's so often untapped because, and I'm a worker bee. I like to jump into the project and get whatever accomplished. And this is emphasized, especially last week, the importance of what gets launched or determined or worked through as you've spent hours praying over it.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, so we're in chapter 7.
Okay, so I think we're on the section called God's Checkbook.
Page 113.
Yeah. Charles Spurgeon was one of the leading lights of church history. Like other high-impact spiritual leaders, Spurgeon would fearlessly claim God's promises and quote them back to him.
Mm-hmm.
In his book, God's Checkbook, Daily Drawing on God's Treasury, Spurgeon explains, "A promise from God may very instructively be compared to a check payable to order. It's given to the believer with the view of bestowing upon him some good thing. It's not meant that he should read it over comfortably and have done with it.
Hmm.
No, he's to treat it as a reality, as a man treats a check." In his book, Spurgeon implores us to accept the promise personally as one's own. After doing so, the believer must pray. Quote, "He must believingly present the promise to the Lord as a man presents a check at the counter of the bank. He must plead it by prayer, expecting to have it fulfilled."
Yeah,
I know, it's interesting.
I would like to have a lot of qualifiers in this. And yeah, if you're praying according to the Lord's will and the intent is pure,
yeah,
and you really feel God's leading, and it's, well,
it's an illustration,
yeah,
but I'm not sure it's one that is the best of all.
Okay.
In analyzing the secret of Spurgeon's incredible success in the ministry, one observer remarked regarding his strong faith and, quote, "intense earnestness." Another confirmed this when he said, "It's not for nothing nowadays that one meets a man so desperately in earnest as he is." Well, that's quite a statement.
Mm.
His biographer wrote, "His idea of prayer was passing over the counter of a check bearing an honored name. For example, Spurgeon was dining with some friends when the discussion turned to the fact that the next morning Spurgeon needed to come up with a large sum to pay the builder of an orphanage. When asked about it, Spurgeon calmly said he had prayed about it and had confidence the money would come. As one of his friends was questioning Spurgeon's bold claim, they were interrupted by a messenger with a telegram. The telegram stated that someone had stopped by Spurgeon's church with a gift for the exact sum of money Spurgeon needed to pay the builder the next day.
Hmm. Yeah, I won't get into this, but I had one very similar when we were raising funds for 89.3,
right,
and I didn't know where all the money was going to come from, and I was somewhat overwhelmed, but I thought, Lord, I've worked really hard. The team has done all that we can do, and I just felt like I needed to finish up some painting and did some things at our tower in the Fithian area in the building there. And that's when I got home, and that's when I, on the way home, went to the post office box and arranged all the letters,
right,
and God
just
did a supernatural thing with
more
than I could have ever imagined, and it set up, you know, and so it was one of those where I really just said, Lord, this is your ministry. You're going to have to provide. And I didn't talk to God like, you're going to just have to provide.
No, you didn't.
But
do
I just
that.
Felt like it's
you
his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And
you couldn't fix it.
Yeah. And I think I did my part, but I just really trusted. But he, above and beyond what I would have ever dreamed.
Praise God.
I love telling that whole story, so I'll save that for another time.
Yeah, I've heard you tell it. It's a great one. So this says, as the header to this section, if we don't use his promises to the fullest, then Christ will have died in vain, which I'm not certain I agree with. But still, this is interesting. This is going to be about Henrietta Mears. When I was a college student, my professor taught us that the greatest youth minister in history was a lady named Henrietta Mears, 1890-1963. Never marrying, she had hundreds of spiritual children. She became educational director at Hollywood Presbyterian in Southern California. Some of those she mentored included Dick Halverson, who became chaplain of the United States Senate, and Bill and Vonette Bright, who founded Campus Crusade for Christ. Because of Henrietta's drive for souls and ability to plan and prepare, the church grew to more than 6,000.
Mm.
Her own Sunday school class had as many as 500 university students and singles. Many of her church Bible study groups attracted businessmen and well-known movie stars to Christ. Needing strong biblical literature for hundreds of new believers, Henrietta began to write her own, and Gospel Light Press was born.
Huh.
She also started a conference sitter called Forest Home.
Oh, a concert center. It's not, okay.
She also started a conference center called Forest Home, which served as many as 26,000 people a year.
Huh.
One of Henrietta's biographers spent a great deal of time with her and discovered what she called Miss Meir's secret. Here it is. Her ministry had been a fast and furious search to find out the good things that God has promised to his children. She doesn't want to miss a promise, and she doesn't want anyone else to miss one either. If I would present a caricature to describe Miss Meir's, it would be of her holding her Bible close to her eyes, her hands eagerly turning the pages, then pointing to a verse as she says in great delight and enthusiasm, "Here's another promise God has given us. Oh, let's use this to the very fullest. Have you got one there? Well, let's use that one too. Here's another promise. Let's claim this. If we don't use his promises to the fullest, then Christ will have died in vain. Come on, young people. Here is a glorious promise, and I know it works. Here you are. Take it. It's yours." That's pretty cool. How to claim promises. Wesley Duell claimed the promises of God as he served as a missionary in India and as the president of the massive OMS International Missions Agency. Today, OMS includes 7,000 churches with a combined membership in excess of 1 million people. Regarding the promises of God, Duell wrote, "Promises to individuals have their first and primary significance for that person. But what God was willing to do for any Bible character, he's eager to do for you when you have need. Can we claim the promises given to others in the Scriptures?" Duell says yes, under these conditions.
And I'm glad he has "under these conditions." Now, I don't know. We're going to have to
look
at these.
Yeah, we'll have to see what he says.
Some of this, we got to be very careful that
we're we're going to have a lot of conversation going after this one, folks. Okay. We're not sure what we think about some of this. Number one, study Scripture carefully to understand what is meant to those to whom it was originally given.
Yes.
That's important. Okay, check mark. Yeah. Your spiritual application must be made in the light of this literal meaning.
Yeah, and, you know, what was the intent? Was it for them? Was it for all of us?
Right.
You know, and just because we like it and it says things we like doesn't mean it's necessarily for us or for that day.
Number two, recognize that if this promise is God's promise to you, he will not only deeply impress it upon your heart, but will also provide corroborating evidence through providence, opinions of other Christians, and deep heart peace.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when you have an inkling or a leading of the Lord. It's always great to run it by friends that you trust or other mature Christians.
It's remarkably easy to have a selfish leading. Number three, keep your motive primarily for the glory of God, not your own self-interest, even though you may be benefited by the fulfillment of the promise.
Yeah, that's a great one, too, is God being glorified through it.
Yes.
If that's not happening, that's a strong indication that it's not of him, or you've taken something maybe that's supposed to be to give him the glory and turned it around or something.
You know, one of the most interesting things I heard years ago that has stayed with me is the impression you make on other people draws them to you. And they just go away thinking, "Man, you're really something. That's a really neat, great gal, really great guy. Wow. You probably haven't really done it right."
Yeah.
If they go away and say, "Wow, they led me closer to God. I want to know this God. I want to pray to. I want to be in. I love that." You probably did it right.
Yeah. It's funny. Jason, a week or so ago, I'm thinking it's because of today being Monday and last Friday having that special programming.
Yeah.
So the week before that, he was talking about that. Yeah, when we become the focal point, or the pastor becomes the focal point, there's a real danger there, because we all have access to God and we all should be growing and praying to God. Because many times people say, "Well, pastor, can you pray?" And I've known pastor friends that say, "Well, you can pray.
That's
right. You don't have to have the pastor do everything." He said many pastors are worn out because people are looking for them to be the only missionary when we're all called to be the missionary doing the Lord's work. And we have to be cognizant of the fact that God's equipped all of us to have those roles. Now, pastors are called to teach and preach
absolutely.
And divide God's word and point us to God.
It's a gift,
but
when
we start holding them up on the pedestal and becoming the little g God in our lives, there's a real danger.
That's true. I mean, we're called to honor each other, But that's to honor everybody. Yeah. You know, we are not called to worship each other. That's just not the case.
Well, listening friend, if you just returned from maybe a Thanksgiving getaway or were gone last week and you missed out on some of the special programming, they are archived at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org. But last Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thanksgiving Day, we had basically a four-part special. It was titled Remembering the Pilgrims, and it was a really great retelling of what it was like during the Pilgrims' landing and that first Thanksgiving, and it had sound effects. It was like a radio drama with then discussion and consideration on what happened and what it might have been like. And so that was last Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then last Friday, the little things in life. It was like a 40 to 50 year old radio playhouse production with commercials and everything. And I had a lot of fun playing that over the air last Friday. I hope you got to see that humorous look at a family's Thanksgiving.
That's fun,
and
yeah.
We're blessed and encouraged by that. But those are archives, along with our many discussions this last year or so on Prayer, the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. We highly recommend this book. We do have copies at our Springfield location and here at Marketplace Mall, so pick up yours and enjoy it. And pick up a Prime Lifetimes publication and maybe consider giving that as a Christmas gift to friends or family members you know. We'll give them 12 issues. It's only $30 for the whole year. And whenever you want it started, whether you want it as a Christmas gift, we can send out the December edition, or beginning in January, we'd be happy to do that. Just contact the station, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777.
And I just want to say a special thank you. Even years ago, when I, or however many years it was now, when I first started being associated with this station, I was shocked at the gratitude of you, Mark, and of everybody here towards our listeners and our supporters. And it's just, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, we are so grateful for you listeners. We are so grateful for our supporters. We're so grateful. And it's a community. It's a teamwork, co-laborers.
And speaking of support, this is the time of year when about 70% of our income comes in through November and December. So if you haven't supported us this year, this would be a great time. We need your support. So if you'd like to write to our ministry, we'd appreciate a donation of any size. You can write to us at Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843, or you're blessed by their WLUJ family of stations. Write them at 600 West Mason Street, Springfield, Illinois, 62702. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.